Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Mastering Finland. This is a very special episode that we're having today, and this is Matthew Bowen. You know me as one of the hosts of Mastering Finland, and today we are going to be talking about the new government's immigration proposals and how they are affecting the international community in Finland. So we're going to go around the table. We've got four guests here, so start over here.
Hi, my name is Shreya Srinivasan. I am an immigrant who has been living in Finland for about 4 years, working and studying, and I would like to sort of give a common man's immigrant opinion to this panel.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Hans Spilsbury. I've been living in Finland now very recently, just for 5 years officially. I'm a doctoral researcher at Aalto University in computer science, and I also represent a group of individuals under the name of Specialists in Finland, who also have our own concerns about the way that these immigration policies are going to operate.
Hi, my name's Nick Walters. I'm the founder and chair of Helsinki Left, which is a new chapter of the Left Alliance political party, which is led by immigrants and uses English as a working language with the aim to better represent and integrate immigrants in Finnish politics.
I'm Elsa, and I'm a Finnish person, but I was born in Luxembourg and then lived in Brussels and then went to study in Scotland. And I've been to Finland every summer to see my family. And now I've been to Finland, living in Finland for about 3 years. And I've studied and completed my degree in comparative public policy in the University of Edinburgh.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys all for coming here today. It was a lot of, throwing things together last minute, but I really appreciate that you guys were able to be available and everything, because this is a very important topic. So for the people who aren't really too well versed in this, we had an election earlier this year and there was a change in the government. So now that the new government has come in and they've put forth some new policies related to immigration, and these policies have been sparking a lot of debate lately because of the implications on diversity, inclusion, and equality, and how it may be really hindering members of the non-Finnish community in Finland. So we want to go through and discuss these new policies and how they're affecting and who they're affecting, and what our feelings are about them and how they are affecting us all personally. So I think we want to start off by maybe trying to go over a couple of the policies, like just like a brief like sentence about one or two of them. But then we're going to have like a list of the whole thing that people can refer to the whole thing on, our notes for the podcast episode. So in general, we have things like reduction of the refugee quota from 1,050 a year to 500 per year, which is a pretty big difference. There's going to be distinctions made between social security for immigrants and permanent residents. Increased penalties for employee exploitation and enhanced monitoring mechanisms. So that sounds like a lot of jargon, but I think that refers to basically putting more pressure on employers to have stricter rules for their employees so that nobody can get away with basically anything. We can go into more detail about that if you want. Let's see. We've got things that prolong, lengthen the processing time for becoming a citizenship, or to get citizenship in Finland, or to become even like a permanent resident. It's going to be harder based on things like your language proficiency, and also there's going to be things where they, how much Finnish you speak will actually determine how much money you get for things like unemployment. There's so many of these things. They all kind of have very similar themes to them, but I think that we can get into more of the details later. This is obviously going to be affecting every aspect of people's families, children, disabled, everything. So it affects a lot of different people differently. But why don't we start off by talking about exactly who is most affected by these policies and how it's affecting them? Who would like to start?
I'm happy to go first.
So okay.
Go ahead, Nick. Every group of immigrants will be affected by these policies, and I think that we should categorically reject all of the policies because they work in a collective way to stigmatize or demonize immigrants. Obviously, the more vulnerable groups are the most at risk, for example, refugees. The refugee quota this year is 1,050 quota refugees. Last year, the quota was 1,500 and it worked perfectly fine. And the government is proposing to cut that to 500. Originally, I think that the Finns party wanted to cut it to zero, but they have a legal obligation to have a minimum of 500.
From the EU.
From the EU, yes, that's right. And the UN is also forecasting that the demand for the settlement of refugees will increase by about 20% this year, or next year, sorry. So we should actually be increasing the refugee quota and not decreasing it. There are also many other groups of immigrants who are affected, including low-paid workers, highly educated and skilled workers, and they're all affected. So I think that we should try and promote a message of solidarity between different groups and work together to reject the entire government program.
And some parts of the proposal include sort of giving preference for people who have a higher like income or like a higher class bracket.
Expedited permanent residence.
Yeah, expedited permanent residence if you have 40,000 euros or more per year, if you earn 40,000 euros or more per year. So I think not a lot of immigrants are able to be put in that category. One, because whatever their education they have done back in their country might not be like valued here. They have to start up again, and a lot of the times because of systematic discrimination in the job market, they are not able to get those high-paying jobs. So it's going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah, I would like to add that last year in Finland, there was a big discussion about the working condition of nurses. And I'm surprised that at this point, when so many nurses come from countries that are not Finland, there's no more discussion about the kind of policies that are trying to trap those who are working in, for example, care sector. Because they are going to be really affected by all types of legislation, not just the one, not just legislation and proposals that are going to impact migrants, but also those that are going to impact the working conditions of every person in Finland. So I think that discussion should be highly prioritized and kind of revamped and like kind of discussed again, because now it's even more pressing. And basically, the policies are suggesting that. Not even suggesting, but making very explicit that if you are in certain positions in Finland, there's no way out. In the past, it was difficult, but there were possibilities to re-educate yourself, find another job. But now, if you are a nurse, and if you are a nurse with a low income, which is very often going together, the ways you can leave that position are made very, very slim. So yeah, I think their voice should be listened to more.
And I think the last thing that I'll say about this is that these policies will affect basically everyone in Finland who does not hold Finnish citizenship, albeit in different ways. So this is something that concerns you, even if you are an EU citizen, exercising your right to free movement, if you stayed here after the Brexit under the withdrawal agreement, if you are here working, perhaps maybe you have a high salary, these proposals will still affect you in some way as well. So it's worth paying attention to this, even if you think you fall into a group that might be seen as sort of protected.
Okay. Both Nick and Elsa have their hands up. So who was up first?
Not sure, okay. But I could just briefly build on what Elsa was saying. The government is also planning severe attacks on workers' rights and trade unions, and this affects 99% of people in Finland. And this will be their absolute priority when the government comes back to parliament. So that also affects immigrants, because immigrants are already in general more vulnerable in the labour market by a long way. And it also affects Finns, everyone who's a resident in Finland. So we should be uniting to protect our workers' rights as a priority. And after they've attacked workers' rights, they will move on quickly to attack immigrants' rights.
Yeah, and to build on what was just said, I also want to add that the policy changes to education-related policies are also going to, I mean, hopefully not go forward, but if, for example, getting a second degree would require a tuition fee, or if there are going to be cuts in education, or like education for adults, it's going to mean that it's more and more difficult to try to even get to the position that would help you. So in a sense, the equality of opportunities doesn't exist anymore, and it hasn't existed in the past, but it's going to diminish even further.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this particular, you know, part of the discussion?
Not this particular one, no.
Okay.
I mean, too many, but...
Yeah, but
there are many things to discuss.
Exactly.
Right, so I think another thing we want to kind of get into is how these policies are affecting Finland's overall immigration policies that have been in place, and how it's aligning with the goals that they have set for diversity, inclusion, equality, and all these other things that Finland is usually looked at by the rest of the world as being very, you know, good on good terms with these types of things, maybe even the best. So certainly this is going to be taking some points away. So why don't we get into that?
Yeah. So I would, that's the thing, right? Like my perspective on like Finland as like a study destination, I would say it is like an undiscovered gem for most people. Like a lot of people, when they go to studying in the EU, they like think about studying in Germany or like Sweden, for perhaps because the top universities are there. And but I think like I was glad like I applied for a dual master's degree. And I was assigned Aalto University for my first year, and I'm glad that happened. Like fate happened for me that I came here, because I love the university system and everything. But now these policies are making Finland very unattractive in the global market, especially the 90-day rule, where. If you lose your employment or get terminated from your employment, you have just 90 days to find another one. And if not, you're going to be kicked out. This, although has not been in place, like this is a proposed policy, I have been living the 3-month rule because my work got terminated back in April, because of lack of funding at my workplace, and my permit was expiring in July, so I was actually living the 3 month rule. So what it had, what it did for me is sort of make me be in a very, very vulnerable position, sort of not knowing what my future is in this country, living in fight or flight for 3 months. And one of those months included a summer vacation month for the Finns, July. So especially if you get laid off during spring and summer, which usually people do that, it's very, very hard for you to find work in just 90 days. And it's not practical at all. I've heard comments that even Finns can't find, even native Finns can't find work in 90 days. So
that's true.
Yeah. So
Also, if people aren't aware already, during Finnish summer, everybody goes on holiday and you can't get anything accomplished. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
So good luck. Even the people who actually are working hard to help you, if they have gone to their kesämökki, they're not going to answer your calls or emails. So it's a really bad time of year to be in a situation where you actually need to get a hold of people.
But the point is the 90-day rule is not practical. It's not something, and enforcing it is going to be a big like process as well, and I don't know, like you, when you don't see a future in this country, why would people want to move here? So yeah. I think that's like really affecting people's sense of belonging in this country. And that's another topic.
Well, real quick to add to that, like from a perspective of a student, yeah. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they come here, they do their, you know, semester two, whatever. And then because they're not actually welcomed into the Finnish workforce, there's no opportunities. They have no choice but to go somewhere else. Even if they like Finland and they want to stay here. So that's a thing that Finland's been having an issue with way before any of these policies came along with. So, but Elsa, please.
Yeah, so yeah, I know one of the segments of society which will be affected by these new policies related to how to get support if you want to enter the workforce. I think it's actually students. There are many people who come to study to Finland and who are told here, you know, we want people like you. We need people who work in these sectors. And then when their studies end, I think some of the new proposals are basically saying that you wouldn't get support. The time period would be lengthened during which you would have needed to work kind of full time. And if you become unemployed after that, you wouldn't basically receive help. So what I want to say is that what qualifies as work that is seen as good work and it enables you to get some unemployment benefits if you become unemployed, even for a short time, after a period of working, will also change and become more strict. And that will impact students who are just entering into the workforce. And obviously also non-citizens that are basically forced to find the easiest way to do some job, and usually also some companies exploit workers, and there have been many cases in Finnish communities, and some companies that are, you know, I don't want to talk bad about startup scenes in you know, as a generalize about those things, but there are many startups that are using this desperate workforce potential to then trap them into conditions that make them eligible to stay in Finland, but under very, very poor conditions.
I can expand a bit on that. I think Sam can also expand a bit on that. For example, like specialist permit is dedicated to people who earn about 3,500 euros per month or more. But these startups, And with the specialist permit, you get like expedited processing and everything. But even if you have those skills and qualifications that make you a specialist, these sort of circumstances that Elsa just described, people are going to get hired via the TTOL residence permit, which, again, people are going to take advantage of the vulnerable, and it's,
I'm just trying to get you to be in front of the mic.
Yeah, people are going to be taking advantage of the vulnerable, and these sort of policies make people more like susceptible to them.
Yeah. Nick, you were going to say something.
Yes. Yeah, back to the core of the question. It was about how the immigration policies will affect the commitment to non-discrimination and equality, and also how this will be protected globally. So there's no attempt to be compatible with those principles. The immigration policy is in direct conflict with the Non-Discrimination Act, and many of the proposals are unconstitutional. For example, to give different types of social security and healthcare to immigrants from native Finns is a form of segregation, and I'm fairly confident that it's unconstitutional. So I don't think some of these things will not even be passed, and even that they do already have an effect on immigrants. They create a kind of environment of fear. In the UK, the Conservative government has had a tactic for the last 13 years in its immigration policy, which they themselves call creating a hostile environment towards immigrants. And the aim here is to divide immigrants into different categories, make them fight for their own purposes and not in solidarity with one another, and to divide Finns from immigrants and to make Finns demonize immigrants.
Hold on, I think did you have something you wanted to add?
I can, briefly.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so there was this public forum that was held last Friday in Helsinki about this topic. And there was a speaker there from the city of Espoo. I don't remember what his full name was.
Damo
something. Yes, Damo. I'm just going to call him Damo. And he gave a very interesting statistic about the sort of existing policy aims of bringing people into Finland, increasing the diversity, increasing the workforce, which is that effectively 100% of the net growth in the number of employed persons in Finland has been filled by the immigrant workforce. So what's happened, yes, is that the share of, you know, as we know that the population structure is aging, the number of sort of what you might call native Finns who are in the workforce has gone down, and that hole has effectively been plugged and sort of filled more by the immigrant workforce. And so what that means is that it's very important to ensure that when people come to Finland, that when they get sort of some sense of integration, they get some sense of how the workplace works, you know, they're able to, you know, getting a work permit requires that you have a job. It's very important to ensure that people are able to access a permanent migration pathway with reasonable conditions within a reasonable amount of time, right? And a lot of these changes make that permanent migration pathway more difficult, and therefore they actually undermine the goal of ensuring that, you know, the people who have settled and have adjusted to Finland and who are able to contribute to the workforce and the diversity are actually likely to stay in the future, both in the sense that it sends that, you know, it makes it more difficult for people to stay, but also it sends a signaling effect that a person might feel that their life here is more uncertain and that it may be more worthwhile taking a job in another place if that's actually offered.
which I'm sure we're going to get to in some cases, is by design. Now, you guys have something you want to add before we go to the next
question? Yeah, I was just going to tell that I think this really, really affects so many people from different positions that when the government proposal and the program got released, I have many friends who are affected by this, and many of them are like relatively privileged, like young men who work in sectors that are seen as, you know, you get a job easily, you get paid a lot, and even they got really, really organized. So if they are organizing, imagine how much everyone needs to like realize how badly they will be affected and how much this actually has to be a discussion point. And I'm very happy that now there is this desire to discuss these things, because I think this has been kind of stirring up, but the way it kind of came to the very center of politics was quite fast.
Yeah, okay. And just to build on what Sam was saying about what Demo, the director of immigration from Espoo City, said the other day, a senior statistician from Statistics Finland has stated that the reduced unemployment rate in Finland last year was purely thanks to the immigration policies of the previous government. There are 74% of immigrants of working age in employment in Finland, compared to 76% of the general population. And that's despite all of the discrimination that they face in the labour market. And this number is growing all the time. So if we want to have more people in employment in Finland, which personally I don't think is even such a major issue to get an even higher employment rate, because I think it's normal in a society that not everyone is in employment. But even if we do aim for that, the way to do that is not to make bigger hurdles for immigrants, because immigrants are the only way that that can be achieved, and that's according to the experts.
Right. Okay, so now this is the real big question. Why do you think these policies have been proposed? What do you think is at the root of all of this?
I can go and say that the normalization of very far-right xenophobic comments and just attitudes that have been kind of disguised as the will of the people. And I would say that the Finnish society is kind of lagging behind in awareness of what is going on in other European countries, because the focus is so much on domestic politics and there is relatively little media coverage of other countries, especially their like internal domestic policies. So elections are obviously covered, but that's pretty much it, unless there is some kind of a crisis. But this creeping normalcy of very, very exclusionary politics and talking points and also policies is one of the main causes, I would say.
Yeah, so this is a topic that really interests me, because it's more about political tactics. It's a tactical decision to divide immigrants from one another and from Finns. If we look at other countries, this kind of far-right populism is growing across Europe and across the world, and it's a way of gaining power through populism and maintaining power by dividing people so that they're weaker in combating any of these policies. In Finland, I would say that people are quite hesitant to talk about party politics, but we have a party political system. So I think it's really important that we people would become a bit more wise to the tactics that are used by political parties if we want to actually stop harmful policies that will affect human rights, the economy, people's well-being, and safety. So, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, there's been this hostile environment in immigration policy in the UK. The US also has very hostile immigration policy. So I think Finland needs to pay more attention to tactics being used by politicians in other countries and unite against those kind of tactics.
Yeah, I'm going to go over this point very briefly so as to not distract from the subject, but there are the towns and districts that voted mainly for the populist party, that is PS, who has been very vocal about their anti-immigrant agenda and their populist agenda. Those districts, they are quite predominantly devoid of immigrants, or the immigrant population is very, very less. So my concern is that the trust and confidence on immigrants is not there because they have not experienced those companionships and friendships with immigrants. And I think that is one of the ways, like as Nick told, that the politics has been, political agendas has been used to sort of fool people with manipulative lies. And I think one of the things we want to achieve, or we want to, I at least want to achieve from this moment, is sort of having discussions about, or like popularizing the trust and companionship between Finns and immigrants that we have here in the cities, so that those people in, for example, the middle-aged guy in rural Ratama, he can also understand and gain confidence and trust on immigrants. And Sam, do you want to?
Yeah,
sure. I think further on to the sort of political aspect that has been discussed by the other three, so Elsa, Nick, and Trias, one factor in this, which I think is probably a factor which exists in many countries, and it's a challenge that many countries need to deal with in terms of how immigration policy plays into sort of politics, is that there is not a particularly good understanding of how the existing system for immigration to Finland from third countries actually works within the political discourse. And so what this means is that there is a lot of sort of people thinking that the system works in one way when it actually doesn't work in that way. So one sort of trope that I see being repeated quite a lot is this idea that, okay, we are sort of bringing in sort of far too many people who just want to sort of work here for an extremely low salary, and the doors are just sort of wide open. Now, that's actually not true, because for the different forms of work permits that exist, there is something called a labor availability consideration. And what that means is that the employer needs to go through a fairly long process of proving that they're actually unable to find a person who is able to perform the role within that their organization from anywhere within the European Union. Right, so that's a fairly big labor market. And so what this means then is that the areas in which people do come into to work in Finland, at least on the work-based permits, are those areas in which there are sort of genuine labor shortages and in which people are genuinely needed. And in general, it is not a particularly large number of people who are doing so. So that's sort of one misconception that I see being thrown around a lot. I see also misconceptions around the ease of which a person is able to find new employment within the existing structures that exist around work permits. So many people probably don't know that if you receive a work permit in Finland, that is likely going to be tied to a particular occupational field, right? And what this means then is that if you need to find a new job, if you want to do it on the basis of your existing permit, then you need to find a job specifically within this field, or you need to apply for a new permit, which involves going through this availability consideration again, right, in order to find a job within another field. Or there are sort of these different lanes then if you are sort of earning a particularly high salary. So I think that there are many of these sorts of misconceptions which are quite easily be able to be exploited. And then it's funny because I also sometimes see these misconceptions reflected within the preambles of the government program. So I know I'm just listing off things, but another one that I saw was Finnish citizenship will not come automatically. Well, it doesn't come automatically, right? Any person who has gone through that process will tell you that it is a very long process. It involves taking a language test, a very strict period of residence, waiting in a queue for a very long time, paying an application fee, etc.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and I think what you were just saying, I believe you put into the Telegram group recently, and I was reading that. And,
okay, yes.
And and there was also a point that, like, in a lot of cases, that not only are you in a specific industry, but it might be a situation where you're, like, coming here as someone who can speak English, and that's the work environment,
mm-hmm.
is a English-speaking environment, which also means that once you don't have that job anymore, you're going to have to find another job in an English-speaking environment.
Exactly.
And as if that's an easy thing, I've been... Personally, I was in an English-speaking environment. My job ended a year ago, and I'm still looking. So, you know, we'll get into more of that later. But
yeah, so another reason why I can point out that this government program or the immigration policies in this government program are being proposed in bad faith is because a lot of them are contradictory to one another. So if we talk specifically about language, the requirements to get permanent residency are being the importance of language and also the importance of language in being given benefits, which has nothing to do with being able to speak the language. That's all being given more emphasis because it's a way of dividing people and categorizing people based on their skills. And also, when it comes to language, for example, requiring refugees to have language skills, so this is about family reunification. So say you have a refugee who's already in Finland and a family member is planning to come to Finland based on being reunified with their family. And then to have a requirement that they need to be able to speak Finnish before they even apply. It's quite absurd because if you're coming from a country from which you're a refugee, there's not obviously going to be any means to learn Finnish in that country.
Okay, Elsa, please.
Yeah, I have so many things to say. I don't know where to start. I want to talk about like this voting pattern at length, if I could. Like why in some rural areas there... the voting tends to go towards more conservative and kind of anti-immigrant parties. And then I also want to address this language teaching topic. I think I will touch the language teaching first because it's a bit more compact.
Okay.
At the moment, the language teaching kind of program for foreigners, from what I understood, is under the Työ ja Elinkeinoministeriö, so the Ministry for...
Employment and economic affairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the Ministry of Education. And many people have argued that it should be reversed so that the Ministry for Education would be the one responsible for like the delivery. And I think the same way, because as Nick was saying, if the teaching, the responsibility for teaching Finnish to foreigners is very tied to Työ ja Elinkeinoministeriö, and people who actually don't really prioritize it, then you cannot really blame those people who come to Finland and can manage in English, and then they might not even have time and resources to learn Finnish, because also Finnish people are very proud to say that, oh, our language is so difficult. Like, we actually also prefer English almost. And I think it's a very worrying trend that there is more and more this kind of neglect of Finnish language. And then even Finnish people are not really willing to kind of protect their own language without kind of like without any sort of like ethno-nationalism. We should be proud of our language. I feel Finnish because I speak Finnish language, and I wish more Finnish people were willing to make learning Finnish actually easy and actually understand that there are so many non-Finnish people who want to learn the language. It's not just refugees, but it, like the, any person should be welcome to learn Finnish. And second, about the voting patterns and like what actually attracts people to vote for parties that are vote like that are enacting policies against their own, against those groups' interests. I think it's a very fascinating topic, and I've actually talked about this in several occasions with different communities, so it's something very topical. I think there is a big trend of like centralization of power, centralization of decision making, and this kind of neoliberalization of economics, and it kind of means that people from peripheral areas move towards cities, and rural regions are seen as the kind of suffering regions of globalization. And there, in my opinion, and I don't belong to any political party because I don't really think it's the way I can advance like the politics I want to be part of. But I think there are many people who have very, very legitimate worries about what is going on. For example, their workplaces are kind of getting away from them to big cities, and then they have to use cars. But at the same time, people shouldn't really be using cars that much anymore because of climate change and all that. So they're very, in my opinion, there are very few political parties that have been able to offer a sense of belonging and like solution orientedness towards these issues, especially for people in rural areas. And one of the like very anti-establishment parties is the one that happens to be very anti-immigrant. So by being the only party that is kind of provocative and kind of like critical towards the system, but not the economic system, but like institutions, they have been able to mobilize some voters who might actually not have exactly the same values, but then they just become closer in the sense that, you know, elections are, in too many places, elections are the only thing that matters. So you show up, you vote, and then you later realize that actually after the elections, these parties are advancing policies that are very, very extreme and anti-immigrant and anti-humanity, I would say. But then again, because you live in, let's say, rural areas, you might not see the impact these policies have on those people who they are trying to exclude. I could go on further, but I think, you know.
Yeah, I know Nick has something well.
Yeah.
He raises.
Yeah, I think that's a very astute observation, and I think it's a big problem in Finnish politics is this urban-rural divide. I think the Centre Party has itself used populist means, not blaming immigrants, but blaming people who live in cities and people who make decisions who are based in cities for the problems of rural communities. They've used the trying to protect dying rural industries as a way of getting popular support in the rural areas instead of actually trying to help those rural communities transition to more sustainable forms of production. They've been part of this conservative push to stop the green transition or to limit it. And because of their disruption in the previous government, going back on some of their core aims that were agreed in the government program, for example, on peat mining or on Sami rights, they have actually lost quite a lot of support from their voters, and they've now been at their lowest kind of support level ever. And it's been the Finns Party that's been able to capitalize on this by using a different form of populism, by blaming immigrants for all of Finland's problems. So this is a crisis in Finnish politics, and frankly also the left hasn't really done enough to harness those potential rural voters and needs to do a lot better in that sense.
And that is a common tactic globally, to blame the non-native people for all your problems.
The poor and the immigrants.
Yeah. All right. Elsa,
so to continue and expand and clarify a bit of what I just said, the politics I kind of want to advance is basically when I participate politically, I want to participate outside of electoral systems, because I think focusing on elections is basically what modern politics does a lot, because it seems this the way to matter and have a say. But I want to emphasize in my own work and my own politics that there is so much you can do outside of traditional like state politics. And I want people to have, you know, the ability to think and act for themselves. And the worry about this, the impacts of like green transition is also something that I think is coming more and more apparent and visible in Finland because of the things Nick mentioned. And I see that the party political system is a bit too late in responding to these things. And this is all super incredibly linked, interlinked in fascinating ways. And I think we should really, really try to find alternative kind of ways of organizing and talk about institutions from a very critical but factual lens.
Okay. I know you both raised your hands. Real quick, though, I'm going to say, I want to propose this question of, is there anything in this proposal that you actually agree with? And you can continue whatever else you were going to say when you answer it. But
assuming we're talking purely about immigration policies, then no, I categorically reject the entire proposal.
Okay.
And all of the policies there are interlinked with one another, and they shouldn't be seen as isolated policies.
Sam, you have...
Yeah, if we're to talk about the government program more broadly, then there are certain aspirations. I don't know how well these will be achieved. But there are certain aspirations, at least within the integration policy, which may be beneficial for the immigrant population. In particular, there is an aspiration to encourage learning of the Finnish and or Swedish language within the workplace, which it was actually pointed out at Friday's public forum that these sorts of subsidies and encouragements do already exist, and perhaps there's a visibility problem there. I know that, you know, quite many people within the immigrant population would feel as though if they had more opportunities to engage with and learn the local language, then that's something that they would actually want to do. So it remains to be seen how well this will be achieved, but it's at least a good aspiration to have.
Okay. All right. Now, I will say that, you know, we are coming up to almost 50 minutes. So I'm going to... I know that everybody still has things to say, and I feel like all of these things, we could probably talk at least an hour about each one individually. But I kind of want to give everybody an opportunity. We'll go around. You can give your personal story, and you can also throw in any of these other things you wanted to say right now. And that way we'll just kind of go around as a way of sort of coming to a close of this particular discussion. But I think that there's so much here to continue discussing, and I know you are all very active in that. So we'll get to the part at the end where you guys get to make sure everyone knows where to follow you and all that kind of stuff. But we'll just go ahead. Who would like to go first, sharing your personal story?
I can go first. I have quite a few things to say. Well, how to even start? I'm here because I'm a Finnish person who has been an immigrant for most of their lives within Europe. So I sympathize with migrants' worries about the like current politics globally. And since I've also studied geography, sustainable development, and comparative public policy, and politics more broadly, I feel like this is both like fascinating, like horrible, but fascinating in the sense that this is very interesting. I want to do something to help those who are affected, and also use my knowledge to help people and have discussions with people. And yeah, I feel like I'm also impacted in the sense that communities I'm in are very much impacted by these policies. And I also feel like in Finland, to generalize, that the awareness about these matters is still very low compared to other places I've been to, for example, Scotland, the UK in general, Brussels, and Spain. So, like my background in terms of other stuff, I'm very involved in thinking and talking and doing stuff about climate politics and in Finland, but I remain tied to multiple places where I've been throughout my life. So I follow what's going on, and I want to, in my politics, I want to focus on people-centered, like basically just helping people to have a good life without hurting other people. Yeah, make policies that would act the same way, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why am I here? I think a lot of people would know me from my first speech video at Audi at the initial protest that we had at the Audi Square. I sort of auditioned for showcasing my love for this country publicly. I think I was so heartbroken or taken aback by what this sort of program symbolizes, or what it sort of wants to achieve is sort of very paradoxical, in the sense that they say they want to improve the economical situation of the country, but it's totally paradoxical in the sense that you're excluding the whole immigrant population from it. And especially I was already in a vulnerable situation, and I just had to speak out. I love this country, and I love the people in this country, because they offered me support when I needed it, and I found my support system here, and I found my home here. But what this program makes me question is my sense of belonging to this country, my sense of belonging to this country, and also what my future here is. So I think all immigrants have this sort of flowchart plan, right? I've been here for some years. In this year, I'm going to get my permanent residence. In this year, I could get my citizenship and whatnot. What this has done is, for me, it was that I've already studied here for 2 years, and 3 years I've been working here. So if I was here for one more year, I can sort of, 2 years studies and 2 years working. So if I was here one more year, I can already sort of apply for the permanent residence now. So what this new policy has done, 6 years and 8 years for the permanent residence and citizenship respectively, what it has done is through a sort of a faucet or stop on everything. My whole plans of integration into this country has been put on hold, or it's very uncertain what is going to happen next. And I need to be able to be more years to get integrated, which is like, especially when other countries when other countries like Germany, Canada, and Australia are reducing the number of years to get integrated. So it's just all over the place, and
it very much disincentivizes you.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the Finnish language things, but maybe
we can have more stuff after the fact. I think would be good. So we'll continue that. Sam, you want to?
Sure. Yeah. So I would say I similar sort of story and background. So I also moved here to complete my studies with my master's degree, and I've also now been working here for 3 years in various roles. So I once worked with a company, and now I work as a doctoral researcher. I've also worked under the existing integration system. So I've also learned Finnish. I wouldn't say that I'm particularly confident with Finnish, but people say that my Finnish is good, which always surprises me. personally, I've also applied for these sort of long-term stay options such as citizenship. And, personally, I do wonder, okay, are they going to change the rules while I'm still waiting in the queue, along with about 7,000 other people that it is now? So that's a concern that I have. And I think it's a concern that's also reflected amongst many other people who have been sort of living here or working here for roughly the same amount of time. So you see this come up quite a lot in the Telegram group, which I'm part of, called Specialists in Finland, and especially the way that we sort of mobilized around that. If you then want to find out a little bit more about sort of dissecting how these policies are going to impact people within that group, but also different other groups of people as well, we have our own website, which is specialist.fi. And then there you can also find information about the Telegram group that we have and the other events that we're running as well.
Okay. And you can go, and then I'll give a little bit myself too, but you go
first.
Yeah,
sure. Please. Thanks. So my personal perspective is that I'm in a very privileged position compared to most immigrants in Finland. I come from a Jewish background, so I've been educated from a very early age about the kind of atrocities that can happen if you don't challenge this kind of anti-immigrant rhetoric. I have these strong principles in that regard. I've also faced discrimination, even though I'm not visibly an ethnic minority. I have been on the end of kind of anti-Semitism in the UK between the ages of 10 and 20. So I know what it's like to be discriminated against. I first became interested in politics when I moved to Sweden to do my master's and saw how much more equitable a society could be if it had fairer policies. Not that Sweden or Finland are perfect, but the UK is currently a dumpster truck on fire. So dumpster fire, sorry. So I think we could learn from the UK and avoid going down that kind of route. But I have a PhD. I'm highly skilled. I've had a job since lined up before I moved to Finland. I was lucky enough to get integration training because my contract ended just before this 3-year eligibility period ended. So I did an integration course for about 10 months. I can speak intermediate Finnish, and I'm learning Finnish at the moment to try and get to a more advanced level. I simply want to help to represent immigrants, get them better integrated into politics, and also influence the policies of our party and of the country. I'd also like to just briefly mention that I think we should focus on solutions. I agree with Elsa that party politics does have flaws, and even though I'm here representing a party, there are many ways outside party politics that you can get involved. So you should be a member of a trade union. You should, if you have the energy, participate in trade union activities, support or become active in an NGO, and also join a political party.
Okay, thank you. All right, so when I had my own episode before I became a host on the show, I did share my background, but I'll briefly go over that again. So I'm originally from the United States, and my wife is from Finland, and we became pen pals. And then eventually we got married, and we decided together that it would be me who moved to Finland instead of her moving to the United States. At the time, the main decision for that was because we thought it would be better to start a family here, and with, you know, the social welfare system being able to support things. And everything kind of worked out. Now, my wife has had some very serious health problems that have basically made it so that there's almost no chance of us ever moving away from Finland. If we ever moved to the United States, we would never be able to get insurance to cover her health. We can't even change insurance from what we have here because we face the same kind of problem. So now that really hasn't been much of an issue for most of the time I've been here, because I've always, for the most part, I've always felt very welcomed in the community. And I have been able to make a lot of friends, both Finnish and part of the international community. And it's really made my general, like, day-to-day life seem very, very nice. But I also, like I said, I was working in an English-speaking environment, and it was on a contract that kept getting extended and extended and extended. And finally, it came to an end. And at that point, I'm now here, but I don't – first of all, I live in Pori, so I'm not in the capital region, which a lot of people say that – in the capital region, you can get by with English a lot better. But I've also heard completely opposite. And I don't know from personal experience which one is more true, or how that affects you as an individual. But I will say that I have been super involved in my own community. And I have gotten into a lot of things to try to really help and empower the international community. And I have had a lot of people in positions really champion the work that I'm doing. But at the end of the day, what always seems to happen is they like the ideas, they like the spirit, everything else, but there's no job for me. There's no compensation anywhere. There's a lot of desire to work with me, but not to pay me for anything and allow me to do that. So at the end of the day, I wanted to be clear that I also have, like, bills to pay. And not only that, but I myself as an individual, yes, I'm an immigrant, but I have a Finnish wife who is also unemployed, and I have a child that is a Finnish citizen. So I think that for some reason, everybody should be thought of as equally. But if people are even thinking about it that way, where some kind of person is more valuable than another, it doesn't seem to actually be what they execute in what's really going on. And there's a lot of talking, not so much doing. And I believe that in politics, there has become a business that is all about saying the things so that people support you financially. And then you don't actually solve the problem, because you're afraid maybe that if you solve the problem, you won't get money anymore. You won't have a job anymore. So keeping your immigrants poor and struggling gives you a purpose, instead of trying to empower them to be able to do things. People come here and they want to live and they want to have, you know, a pretty nice, simple life and enjoy the things that Finland has to offer, which is a lot. And really, most of it doesn't require you to spend money. A lot of things are very natural. You just go out and experience it. But in order to be able to sustain yourself as a living, breathing person, you need to be able to have something. And it's not even enough, even if they were just giving you the money. I don't really support, I don't want to be getting unemployment. I want to be doing something and getting a paycheck for it, because I don't feel like I'm doing anything, even if I'm getting the money. So I know that the majority of the people who have come here from abroad, at least at first, have that spirit. They want to contribute to the Finnish society. They want to be able to roll up their sleeves and put their blood, sweat, and tears into things to provide for themselves and their families. And they keep running into these things where, for whatever stupid reason, and they all are stupid, it's not worth giving them that life. But we're happy to bring you up and have you stand next to us at a political rally to make it look like we're doing the right thing so that more people give us money and all this other stuff. I'm not saying everybody's doing that, but that's definitely happening. And it's taken all this time. I've been here 6.5 years. It's taken all this time to really start to, for me to be able to feel that so much. And lately I have just been filled with rage, and I've been able to control myself for this whole thing. But I really think that if we're talking about unreasonable expectations too, especially with things like Finnish language, which yes, it's possible to learn Finnish, but it's really hard to learn a new language when you have a life that you're also trying to do. And don't think that because I don't have a job, I don't still have things that I'm trying to do. Also, that's really nobody's business. Like, I'm allowed to live a life, right? So either invest in making the scene from The Matrix where you can download a language into your brain and be like, whoa.
I would love that.
I am a Suomi. Yeah, make that happen. Or another thing I would encourage a lot of Finnish people to do, because I think that most people that I've encountered, their heart is in the right place. But just to try to give an idea of what it's like, go try to learn a language that is nothing like your language on top of your entire life. And then tell me how well you do. And let's give you 90 days to do it or something like that so that you can know how it feels.
90 days, yes.
Okay. End of rant.
Yeah. I wanted to touch a bit upon the sort of assumptions people have about you when you're like unemployed. Because I've been dealing with that, and it's like these sort of very black and white assumptions have been made about me in the comments of like the LinkedIn post that I've gotten like hyper viral. It's just like, this Shreyas must be, you know, like staying here because he's getting the Kela benefits. that's why he's here. The truth of the matter is, I've contributed to the Finnish welfare state for 3 years now, and I think the point of a welfare state is to sort of you can contribute to it when you're healthy, and it protects you when you're vulnerable. And if you're gonna like comment on me taking advantage of something that I've contributed to, I mean, go ahead, I guess. So that was one. And about the Finnish language, in the proposed program, they say that they encourage people to, or like they encourage the workplace to sort of like have Finnish language training or whatever. But there's like no guidelines on how to do it, or like no like specifications on how those can be done. So it's just like very vague. I'm glad that it's there, that one line is there. There's also this question of like, what is the definition of being integrated into the Finnish society? How do you define integrated? At least for me, I don't know the Finnish language yet, but I feel integrated because, you know, like I have a support network for myself that has been involving both like foreigners as well as Europeans and Finns. So I'm involved actively in the society and the causes that I believe in. And one other sort of question when it comes to sense of belonging in a country is sort of what kind of future you can see in that country, right? And I saw a future. I saw a future before June 3, 2023. I saw a future in Finland before that date, and sort of I had a plan of when I will be a permanent resident and when I will be able to learn my C2 level Finnish language skills and get a citizenship here. So it's just, yeah, sorry about that rant, but it's just I'm filled with rage, but I just want to be able to like contribute to the economy or like Finland as soon as possible. No immigrant here is here saying I'm gonna every immigrant in this country wants to have a fucking job. Sorry, wants to have a job and pay their bills and do it. Only when it cannot happen because of the systematic oppression and discrimination that we are part of, you can't do it. So yeah, that's the end of my rant.
Okay, I know that Elsa and yeah. Nick still have some things they want to throw into.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sam, I can't see you.
It's fine.
So
I
raise
I
your hand.
Yeah, I have plenty of things to say because as a Finnish person who actually didn't even come back to Finland because I was born abroad and lived my whole life abroad and then just had family here and obvious reasons to kind of come here when I couldn't go anywhere else. I think it's very fascinating to listen and talk to people who are also in Finland and who have, I feel a great affinity with most migrants I've ever seen, I've met in different places. And I think in Finland, there's this kind of sense that we can believe in the welfare state and the welfare state, it's kind of like a personal contract with the state that, okay, you know, if I suffer, I get some help from you. And if I do well, and then I pay taxes or something like that. And well, during Corona and during my time in being active and interested in politics, I have felt institutions have rules, and those rules can kind of make it so that there is some care or implication that, okay, you know, if something happens, there is a support network. But even then, it's just those rules are made by people, and the institution itself doesn't really care. The institution has no moral compass. It doesn't care. And it can also be very, very brutal against you. It can also kill you. So I feel like the only people, it's only people who care about people. Literally, institutions don't really care about you, even if they want to give that image and even if it might be built into them that they care about specific types of people. If you are no longer that type of people, bad things can happen to you. And I think it's very, very scary.
Care of themselves first.
Yeah.
And if there's something left over,
we have to
self-sustain,
and then we have these rules to make it look like, you know, everything's good. And then I also think Finland is very nationalist in a very soft way, so that, you know, you're proud of, you know, your own functioning systems that are crumbling more and more. But, you know, they're still proud of, you know, your own country and your own nationality. And I think it's fine. But the trick is, the problem is that nationalism can be very, very easily co-opted by very reactionary forces that are using nationalism in a very exclusionary way. And then this question about learning Finnish, for example, I fully support people learning Finnish and getting integrated into Finnish culture. But then if the hardest advocates of, not the hardest advocates, but if this Finnishness becomes very exclusionary and kind of, how to say, as if it couldn't be like renewed and like changed for time, I think it's a bad trajectory. And there should be more discussion around nationalism, like how to change the society to a direction that would allow diversity, not just one, not just idolizing one way of life, but allowing multiculturalism to thrive. And by that, I mean, obviously, multiculturalism that respects other people and other ways of being and doesn't like allow oppression in even in their own communities. But I think this kind of discussion around multiculturalism is also kind of almost like completely co-opted by racists in Finland. And since Finnish people are still like, you know, in Northern Europe, many of Finnish people have only ever lived in Finland. There is not this kind of naturally occurring diversity. And even my background is very weird to some people because they don't realize that there are Finnish people who are born abroad and who have lived abroad and then come to Finland. They're like, why would you come to Finland? And I'm still like, I don't think my background is as weird or different, but I've learned to realize that I'm part of this new generation of Finnish people who lived abroad. And now I want to stay in Finland for the foreseeable future, but I could also go somewhere else. But as I said, I feel like now I have actually integrated into Finland because I know how many things work and I want to improve them. So that's why I'm here.
All right, let's go around and just give like a last words and where people can find you, because we're coming up on getting close to an hour and a half. And also we have some documentarians who would like to speak to anyone interested. So they're going to be coming soon. Oh, you're also polite. All right, we're just going to go around like this way.
Okay.
Clockwise from me.
I wanted to add a bit about that, but I guess I forgot my point. But yeah, hire me. I'm Shreyas Ramachandran Srinivasan. You can find me on LinkedIn, Shreyas, so that you can actually find me correctly.
You just check the notes. The spelling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Good. Yeah, so I am looking for work in tech leadership in the ICT sector and project management. And I would want to, and my LinkedIn is basically about integration into the Finnish society and how this has been affecting the professionals here.
Okay, so we'll have a link to that as well. Direct link.
Yep.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah, I guess my last words would be that there are many also people within Finland, native Finnish people and also people who have moved here who are quite concerned with the policy direction that this country has taken. So for a lot of people who maybe they live in a regional area or maybe they don't have too many friends, you should know that if you feel like things are going not the way that you would like them to go, that you're not alone, that there are many other people who also feel this way as well. And you can find many communities who share these sorts of interests. And at least the one community that I'll say again that I'm at least sort of have helped in forming is called Specialists in Finland. You can find us at specialists.fi or on Telegram under the same name.
Okay, good. All right, Nick?
Yeah, so I wanted to add to a few of the previous points, but if I just briefly pick one of those, it's about not only not having the time and energy to learn Finnish, but also to participate in civil society. So what I said earlier about joining a trade union, supporting or becoming active in an NGO or also in a political party, those are ways that everybody, whether Finnish or an immigrant, can influence society. You can actually do a lot more to influence society than you think. And democracy is not limited to elections. It's also much broader than elections and broader than party politics. It's about actually having some influence over the way that policies are designed. Personally, I'm running in 2025. I'm planning to run in 2025 as a candidate in the municipal elections in Helsinki. So you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm going to refuse to call it X. my tag on all of those platforms and also on LinkedIn is NickW2025. So NICKW2025. And please also follow Helsinki Left. This is the new English language chapter of the Left Alliance. We're going to be officially launching as a chapter in 3 weeks. But in the meantime, you can follow us also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Helsinki Left, all one word.
All right. Thanks. Yeah,
so. My final words would be, find people who you can talk to, because I think these days it's increasingly important to not just rely on ex-Twitter, but I can be found on ex-Twitter because I still think it's one of the best platforms for finding people and talking about things and maybe taking things offline and meeting people in person. So how you can find me, just my, how do you call it, like,
your handle?
My handle, my Twitter, my ex. Well, now it's getting complicated. My handle on Twitter is ELSKIVI, Elskivi, and you can find me that way. And as I said, I'm not active in party politics, but I'm active in many groups I personally support and find some interesting things to do with. And I would encourage other people to find their community, because if you don't have a community you can be vulnerable in front of and get support and help, then I think things are going to get increasingly challenging. So help each other.
All right, thank you. Well, real quick, I'll say a few things as well. Well, first of all, you know, I was expressing a lot of my frustrations earlier, but I will say that I've had many more good interactions and good experiences in Finland than bad ones. And I think that one of the things that has been really good is that I've been able to be a part of some organizations that have allowed me to have opportunities to build myself as a better person, and also in some cases have things that can build my, support my integration and learning the language. So one thing is, it's globally known as JCI. It's Junior Chamber International. You can probably find it just about any country in the world. There's a bunch of them all over Finland, and I encourage you to go to them and say, I want to join. And most of the time, you'll find people that will be able to accommodate very well for you and your language, and also give you all these opportunities to build your leadership, project management, whatever skills you want to go after, all sorts of ideas that you can get involved in to do your part to make your own community better, because that's really what they do. I also, as an American, I am involved with Suomi America, so I would encourage more people who are interested in the American culture to become part of that, both Finnish or non. And finally, the big thing that I've been a part of since its inception a couple of years ago is International Professionals Finland, Interpro Finland, Pistefi. We have built a whole community of international professionals and their associates, which is a great place to go to find support for all different kinds of things. Mainly our services are to help people become better integrated into the workforce, but you joining the community gives you access to the entire network of people, which is well over 1,000 at this point. And there are a lot of things that you can do. And even when things get really, really frustrating, you start to lose hope. There's a lot of things to hold on to. So I want to encourage that to anybody who's starting to feel really dejected right now. But another thing that I would also encourage, that I used to say this is kind of a joke, but I'm a lot more serious about it now, is that if you go into, for instance, our community and say, hey, I'm an accountant, and you find somebody else who's a project manager, and you find somebody else who is a marketing person, and you're all people who are struggling to find a job, get together with each other and create your own damn business. And do business in Finland if you want, but you can probably do it abroad. You can still stay here and make money. That's probably going to be the more realistic solution for a lot of people if things don't get better in this kind of way. So, yeah, like really, if you spend a year looking for a job, 2 years looking for a job, whatever, and you can't find anything because whatever reason, just go find a bunch of other people and start your own business. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for coming today. So much to talk about still. But, you know, hopefully we can maybe have another discussion in the future. Some people can come back. We can bring in some other people. I'd be happy to do that. And maybe we can get some other discussions or more focused on particular things for smaller episodes or something. And we can also try to do more things in the future where I guess I would be remote or I could do individual things with you guys. So we can talk more about that, but we'll get an idea of what the feedback's going to be from everybody and what more people in the audience would like to hear about. And I hope that everybody follows you now and can reach out to you directly to find out more about all these things. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. You know, and we're all in this together, right? So there we go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye!